Today on Compassion Radio.
The road infrastructure in Papua New Guinea is non-existent. In order for missionaries to get in and out of locations that they're in, it's hiking, riverboats, different things. It's multiple days going on weeks to get into a location, unless they have aviation. And then it's a couple of hours. The need is there. We like the environment. We don't know about the people yet, but maybe this is an option for us.
Hello and welcome to Compassion Radio, taking you to the front lines of faith, which is sometimes found around the kitchen table. With straightforward, honest discussion and a prayerful heart, it's amazing sometimes how much God's work reveals itself in community. And that's where Sandy and I found ourselves yesterday. On the previous program, we dug in deep with two of our new missional friends, Travis and Becky Lessica. They're a rare breed, not just for saying yes to God's call on their lives to follow Him across the globe, but for waiting decades for their yes to become a now. And now they've finally landed in their dream adventure, flying through the majestic and treacherous terrain of high-altitude New Guinea to help reach, serve, and love on some of the last truly unreached people groups on the planet. It's a challenging call, to say the least, and it was challenging just getting there, which is the heart of this interview. If you missed the previous program, just head over to CompassionRadio.com to catch both episodes of this two-part series that we're calling When the Waiting Gets Long, the Going Get Tough. We'll pick it up today with Travis's explanation about how Bible translation and cross-cultural communication is rapidly evolving in the 21st century. Thanks for joining us today.
They start using the computer to do the indexing. And now with the iPads and stuff, you can have voice recorders, video recorders, and you can put all of this information in. Well, that's great, but somebody has to write the software for that. Ethnos 360 has been working for several years developing a software package for the iPad. I don't know where the stage is yet, yeah. If it's done, if it's not done, but yeah, we do need people to be programmers and to work on that side of things, to help speed up the translation process.
So if you think about missions, maybe in the first 1500 or even 1800 years of Christianity being something about sending and going and adopting yourself into a culture and just becoming as much like one of them as possible, to a mechanical attitude towards missions of just whatever it takes to get you on the field and build the systems or build the universities or the schools or the hospitals. We have all that kind of infrastructure idea towards missions. And now it's about ideas and connections and software and interface and how quickly can you make relationship happen. It is a profound transformation what missions is. So what's missions look like for you guys now?
We're going to be in a support role, but even though it's, like you said, it's changed so much over the years, I think the basis like for church planning is still people going and living there and learning the language through relationships. And so we've seen that it still takes, like, to really plant a self-sustaining church in a people group, it takes like 10, 20, 30 mm-hmm. or more years mm-hmm. of people being in relationship with other people. But the technology does help speed up translation work. It helps people stay on the field longer mm-hmm. because they're able to get help from, you know, medical or schooling things. You know, a family might have had to leave the field.
And it's a point of presence, too, where they can actually have relationships back in their home countries mm-hmm. that might help sustain them at times of real crisis, too.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, sure.
So you have made a commitment for about, what, 4 years or so to be on the field?
Yep. The field of Papua New Guinea, where we're going, we run four-year terms. So go there for 4 years and then come back and re-engage with your church and with your friends and family for a year. Because we've got, you know, three kids and they're going to not see their grandparents for 4 years. Mm-hmm. And it's hard on everybody. And then, you know, you're in a church and churches change. People come, people go. Kids grow up, youth groups change, everything changes. So in 4 years, a lot of change happens. You want to make sure that you're still connected to the important people in your life.
So what does Ethnos 360 do to encourage you to do that? What kind of tools do they put in your lap saying, if you do these things, you will have sustaining relationships and friendships that will carry you?
You have good communication.
Good communication.
And they have policy about coming on home assignment. So you must do a home assignment. In the past, there were people who grew up on the field. They felt like that was their home. But they made a policy that, like, every so many months or years, you must come back home for a certain amount of time to get connected with your home country.
Mm-hmm. Is that because they really believe that this is their home country, or because they just try to keep them culturally fluent enough? Because it seems like a lot of third culture kids end up deciding on another third culture eventually. So they become four and five culture people over their lifespans. It's not unusual.
For a lot of things, just to stay connected with your supporters. Also, like, that family has kids, they want the kids to be able to function, you know. Mm-hmm. They come back for college and, like, have never been here. Right. You know, they need to be able to function in their home country and stay connected with family.
So what made Papua New Guinea the place to go for you guys?
I had taken a 3-month trip to Papua New Guinea in 2011. Yeah, I took a lot of pictures. So while that first year of being married, and Becky and I are trying to figure out, you know, where do we want to work? Becky worked in Tanzania. I had spent quite a bit of time in Uganda, and we both love the East African culture. We both love East Africa. My skill set in aviation, while it is needed over there, they are pretty well staffed, and there's road infrastructure that's going in and all of that. So as we were talking with AIM Air and trying to figure out, you know, locations and stuff, and it just really didn't seem a good fit for us. Mm-hmm. We like more of the smaller community, that village-esque, being right in amongst the people. With AIM Air, their main base is Nairobi. Right. 3 million people.
Big city, yeah.
Big city, and we're just not. We're not those people.
So you're looking for the North Idaho of missions.
We're looking for the North Idaho of missions. So we were over in Hawaii with the job, and we're just kind of going through all the different pictures of the different experiences that we'd had in East Africa. And I bring up the Papua New Guinea pictures, and we start looking out the window and go, Papua New Guinea kind of looks like Hawaii. We really like this climate here in Hawaii. As we were starting to look at that, and then starting to realize, okay, the road infrastructure in Papua New Guinea is non-existent. In order for missionaries to get in and out of locations that they're in, it's hiking, riverboats, different things. It's multiple days going on weeks to get into a location, unless they have aviation. And then it's a couple of hours. Like, okay, the need is there. We like the terrain, the environment. We don't know about the people yet because we've never been there. But, okay, God, maybe this is an option for us. And then we start talking to the Ethnos 360 Aviation Leadership, and they have a real need for people there. And then with my previous experience of working in the airline industry, I have a couple of skill sets that are needed over there in Papua New Guinea, being able to fly on instruments.
And that's really essential with how variable the weather can be.
Correct, yeah. Mission Aviation used to fly under the clouds. We never flew through the clouds. But with these new aircraft that are coming up, the Quest Kodiak and the different aircraft that are fully capable of being able to fly through the clouds, and the GPS infrastructure that's there now, it's very safe to be able to do that. But we don't have the pilots that are trained to do that. And I've been in that training for 9 years without even knowing that I was in that training.
So it looked like hiccups and roadblocks and full stops.
Yes.
Was God's plan to bring you to the place of
where
great
he wanted me to be
and where he needed you.
Yeah.
Is part of your responsibility in building out the infrastructure as well as flying the planes that are capable of going those places in that kind of weather? Are you building like a network of beacons or different kinds of technology?
No, I mean, it's operating off of the GPS system. Okay. May be a possibility for developing instrument approaches. I say may because I don't know if that's actually going to come under fruition. But that is, again, another skill set that I helped with.
But who knows what's going to get applied when you get there?
Correct, correct.
Now, are they actually pursuing and recruiting IFR-rated pilots?
Every pilot that we have ever recruited has always had to have an instrument rating, even though we've never really flown instruments until the last 5-6 years.
It really is an industry now.
Correct, okay. Yeah.
Which puts you in a really pivotal place. You get to be a kind of designer developer along the way, too.
Yeah.
And you have a lot of experience and wisdom and hard-won experience. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I see God preparing you for that. But it's not like I want to say, oh, this wraps together a neat little nutshell. You know, there's still plenty about your lives that you have no clue why or how God got you to this point at this time, or what might come up, or, you know, short stop you on the way there or while you're there. There are all kinds of things could happen.
But that's the beauty of the way the Spirit works in us, though. Yeah. The things that we think are not essential are that, oh, I don't know why I did that. The Spirit has a way of incorporating those things into our lives in kind of a surprising way sometimes. I mean, I can see even the way your relationship formed, the way you met, and how God had these specific and exclusive skills that were built into Becky and these exclusive skills that are built into Travis, but bring them together to form a ministry team that is essential for the kingdom's advancement. And I see how beautiful that is, that there may be things that come up in the next few years that you're like, oh, that's why I learned that, or that's why that happened 10 years ago or whatever. And how beautiful that is, that we can just depend on God using all things to work together for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purpose. Becky, I want to ask you, this whole aviation thing was maybe like a little new to you when you met Travis, and the idea of being missionary pilots or being in that type of ministry as support for a missionary pilot. What is your role in all of this? What do you see yourself moving into as a role? I know that you guys did some time down in Arizona at aviation school. And what was your takeaway from that?
My role, once we get to the field, because our kids are young yet, so our son is in first grade, and then we have two that are preschool age yet, so I'll be taking care of them.
That'll That's be a mostly full-time job right there.
The first year or two until this next one gets into kindergarten. And then on the base where we'll be living is where all the support staff are. So there's a school, a clinic, and all the administrative staff and the aviation program. So the wives often help in one of those other areas, either in hospitality or at the school or helping at the medical clinic or even doing administrative stuff, some of which you can do part-time, like from your home while you stop.
Compassion Radio will continue to keep bringing you encouragement from the Word, inspiring stories from the front lines of faith, and awesome opportunities to make a difference for the kingdom around the world. But we need your help right now to continue doing just that. Please take a moment today to consider how you might help us to accomplish our unique media ministry and mission. Remember, friends, Compassion Radio is always a coalition of the willing. Are you willing to help get out God's good news stories of the kingdom really living the gospel in the 21st century? Oh, I hope so. Thank you, friends, for standing with Compassion Radio during these times of great change to our normal life. Of course, there's nothing normal about our situation, but there's also nothing normal about the kind of faith and power we find in Jesus. Just visit our website, CompassionRadio.com, or call our toll-free order line, 1-800-868-2478. And note our new mailing address, which is P.O. Box 77160, Corona, California, 92877. Again, that's box 77160, Corona, California, 92877. And now, back to the broadcast.
Hospitality or at the school or helping at the medical clinic or even doing administrative stuff, some of which you can do part-time, like from your home while you stop.
Sure.
You have some latitude in deciding what areas you want to focus on yourself and just kind of work it out when you get there, or do they assign you some responsibilities?
I think it depends, like where there's a need, and sometimes you're covering for someone who's on home assignment or someone who retired or whatever.
So your full-time job first is homeschooling your son and taking care of your two daughters as well.
Yes. We are homeschooling our son right now, but once we get there, we'll be living on the base where the mission school is. So just a few weeks, he'll join his first grade class, which he's really excited to. I'll just be with Hannah and Grace will still be at home.
Very cool.
We got some time left on this second segment of the interview. I'd love to just have you expand a bit on what you're most excited about in getting ready for the field and what you're most concerned about.
I'm excited to just learn a new language and culture and be supporting the church planners that are there, because they're doing some like really great work out in people groups that don't have God's word in their language and are wanting that. And I know it's not this way everywhere, but in the country of Papua New Guinea, there's people groups that are asking for missionaries to come in, and there's actually a lot of missionaries lined up in the training ready to go, and the bottleneck right now is having enough pilots to fly people in and out. There's planes, there's missionaries, they need some more pilots, so we're excited to fill that.
There's over 820 different people groups, language and culture there in Papua New Guinea.
You're going to learn every single one of those.
That's a small
in about 2 weeks
space, yes, for that many, isn't it?
How different, by the way, if you found these languages are from each other? Are they so diverse and so unique that they cannot communicate with each other?
They are, yes. Okay. They're very diverse and very unique. The topography of the country is very mountainous and very steep. We've been told that many times.
Right.
And we didn't really realize how steep and how mountainous it was until somebody showed us a video. And after seeing the video, it was like, oh, that is steep.
Yeah.
And close in, too.
And close in.
It's not like being on the edge of Kansas looking at the Rocky Mountains far in the distance across half of Colorado. They're like line after line after line of mountains.
The country of Papua New Guinea is about twice the size of Idaho. Mm-hmm. And it goes from sea level up to 15,000 feet. And then back down to sea level. And there's several mountain ridges in there. Mm. There are several major river systems down in the lower area. There's the Sepik River, the Fly River, that make it a very diverse country.
And people are just isolated from each other. And so that's how there's this many language groups in such a small area.
But you mentioned wanting to learn a language and being in a culture. So is there kind of a universal or larger encompassing culture that people say this is our kind of language of commerce and communication?
Papua New Guinea has four national languages, but the most widely used one is called Melanesian Pidgin, or it's also called Talk Pidgin. Everyone who goes with organization, support staff included, spend the first 6 months learning the national language, Talk Pidgin, and then the church planters go on to learn whatever local language you'll be working in. So we'll be learning Melanesian Pidgin in order to communicate with, you know, people in the community and Travis at work.
So that's exciting stuff.
For you, at least.
That sounds scary to me.
Language learning has never been exciting or easy for me. When people ask, what languages are you fluent in? I say, I am still working on English.
Right.
Even though it's my native language.
Yeah. I would say your most native language, when you describe your hunger for education, is probably engineering ease.
Math.
Yeah, there you go. And math, as we understand, really is a truly fundamental language of the mind. So you are going to be figuring out how to help people get better what they do, because you're not just going there to do a job and leave because the job's done. This job will never be done. As long as God has people on this earth, there's going to be a need for folks to keep passing on the baton to new generations, the torch, the light, and all the skill sets. So you're going to be investing in people from day one, I'm sure of that. And someday you'll probably have to decide, this is it. You know, we're done with what we can do in our generation. You've raised your kids well, you've busted them out of the nest, and we're telling you, you know, it's not that far away. We've lived it ourselves.
Yeah.
It happens really, really fast. And yet this is the most intense and most powerful time of your lives right now, because you really have laid it all on the line. And now you're in the middle of saying, okay, we need the support, we need friends, we need relationships that will last, even if churches, as you said, change a lot over the years. How is that fundraising going? And before we get off the air, of course, I want to make sure that you all have a chance to let us know how to get in touch with you, so that people who are hearing this program might, if they want to, correspond with you.
We are currently at 86% of our required support.
And what's the
support
threshold for you actually to go on the field?
75% is what Ethnos 360 requires us to have before we go on.
So you're dead certain to leave.
So we're going. We hit that minimum threshold, and now we're just trying to work on that last little bit to make sure that we can stay on the field for long periods of time.
You mentioned earlier that your first foray into fundraising was kind of a non-starter because you didn't have any parameters at the time. They want to know what they're really giving to and not just to the person. But it really does come down to personal relationship. They believe you're really going to do it, and they believe the passion that God's put in you, and they want to be with you in that. Has it been a lot easier this time around to get partners, or is it still a tough sell in the world we have today?
It's been a lot easier this time around for me. For Becky,
I had a good experience the first time around. I'm from Pennsylvania, and the church that I was a part of was really used to supporting missionaries. And so people just sort of had a framework of, like, when someone is doing missions, this is what we do.
Yeah.
So I didn't get a ton of missions training, but the organization I was with did, like, give us some training, raising support, and they had us read a book on it. So I think I just had a framework to go with, or trust didn't have that the first time.
Plus, she had a country that she was going to, and she had a time, and she had a team that she was going with. So when people could ask her, you know, the specifics, she knew the specifics.
Right. For how long do you need me to help you, that kind of thing.
Yeah. you know, where previously unknown, I don't know where I'm going.
I had one experience like that myself, raising funds for a missions trip because I had said no every time when I was being asked to. And the leader that asked me to say yes simply said, what would it take for you to say yes? And what are all the problems? So I listed them out for him. He said, okay, I want you to go to work on those things today. I want you to call me tomorrow. So I went through all this. I ended up calling my supporters I'd had in the past because I promised I would. I said, I'm not going on this mission trip, but if I was to go, would you be willing to consider that? They went, yeah, put me down for $500. By the time I got around the next morning, what I had needed to raise had been raised by the Lord, not me. So you get to a point where you can't say no anymore. That God has said, I'm paved the way for you.
Mm-hmm.
It's often hard because the thing you wanted to say yes to is not right there. But the thing that God is saying, your yes now will mean so much more than you could possibly imagine. Mm-hmm. So say it, you know. But he still leaves the opportunity to us, right? We don't have to walk through every door God opens for us. So you're doing it.
Yep.
And how do we help you?
Okay, so you can log on to the Ethnos 360 blog site for us. It's blogs, B-L-O-G-S, dot ethnos360.org/Travis-Lesica. And that is L-E-S-I-C-K-A.
And we can put that on our podcast page with
and
this.
That's
broadcast.
Why we have a podcast page. So if anyone's hearing that, they want to just click a link, it's right there for you. But those who are listening to it, yes, the Ethnos 360 blogs site will be able to get you to the Lesicas. And we are so grateful for you sharing really the first story. The thing that always impresses me is when people say, well, I haven't really gone yet. I haven't really done anything yet. People have say that to me a lot about where they're heading to the mission field or stepping into something new they never thought they would do before. I don't have a story yet, as I often hear from people. The point is, you all have an amazing story, even so far. And you, in some ways, feel like I haven't even stepped off the dock yet and got on the boat. But you are about to, and by the time this program is broadcast, it'll be early 2024, and you'll be on your way. So I'd be encouraging our listeners who hear this program, be praying for the Lesicas and the future of aviation in missional work, because they're not just carrying missionaries around to teach Bible classes. They're taking healers and infrastructure and people that care and are reaching out and transforming the life of people who are really desperate, who are asking for it. You've mentioned that before. It's not that we're being forceful trying to push a gospel of the Western world on somebody. God has already put it in the hearts and minds of people in these cultures all through Papua New Guinea to say, come help us. We want to come out of where we are. We want to go on to something new. We want to transform where we are. Because these people don't want to leave where they live. They love where they live. They love what they are. And so you all will be supporting those who love on them. And that's a powerful ministry. Just being present, showing up, making it possible for others to be present. So I'm personally very impressed with both of you anyway. You're just great folks. And we've enjoyed getting to know you some over the past few weeks. In closing, is there any other questions you had, Sandy, about what they're going to do?
Well, I would just like to have them express some prayer requests, some concerns that we can pray for you and over you, and our listeners can do the same.
Traveling to Papua New Guinea is going to be 4 different flights, and one of them is going to be 14 hours long with 3 children.
Under the age of?
Of 7.
7, yeah.
We ask for prayers for travel and for attitudes. I'm not sure if it'd be my attitude or the kids' attitude, but for attitudes.
Both are important.
Are important.
How about you, Becky? Do you have anything specific other than that?
Yeah, I guess you could always pray for like good health, especially during our settling in time there and the travel time, and then just wisdom in raising our kids wherever we are, but especially on the field.
We gladly pray for those things. We know that even just the shift of getting into a new physical environment, the nutrition and the quality of the water, the things you'll be exposed to, even if viruses, all those kind of things are potential threats. And being wise about how to acclimate your body and your heart and your mind to where you are. Well, for the past couple of programs here, we've had Travis and Becky Lesica on with us, newly to the mission field as we're talking with you on Compassion Radio today. But they've been prepared by the Lord over what seems like decades to be ready for what's happening now. And we've often talked on Compassion Radio how God is all about the kairos moments. He prepares us very slowly over many years to suddenly show up. And he has definitely shown up a big way in their lives as they prepare to make the big leap at a critical time for the future of aviation, a time of outreach, a time of the kingdom of God advancing in places where it has always wanted to go and dreamt of going. You're ready to do that. We're thrilled that you have said yes, and that your yes started way back in the 1990s or somewhere back in there, that you're saying yes in the big way now. May God cover your family. Thanks for joining us on Compassion
Radio.
Thank you.
My thanks again to Travis and Becky Lessica of Ethnos 360. Their story of patience and perseverance is inspiring, and it's only the beginning of amazing things for them. I hope you'll pray for them as they come to mind, along with all the other intrepid aviation servants who make it possible to grow the kingdom in the most remote places on Earth.
Compassion Radio is still the radio voice of the global church, and that's completely due to the Lord's provision through you. Give online today at CompassionRadio.com or call us at 1-800-868-2478. And note our new mailing address, which is P.O. Box 77160, Corona, California, 92877. We need you, friend, so contact us today.